We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the show. An off day. The team is in Seattle. Joining the team in Seattle, as he has all road trip, is our own Jesse Agler. He's been broadcasting on television with Mark Grant, and he is joining us right now on the Cholula Hotline. Jesse.
And doing a fabulous job,
nice,
I might add.
Jesse, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for the nice words.
Well, they are well-deserved. An off day in Seattle. What are you going to be doing with your off day? It's a beautiful city. I understand you've never been there, right? What are you planning on for the evening?
First time in Seattle, that's right, and it's awesome. It's a really, really cool place. Went to the Museum of Flight this morning to indulge my inner airplane geek, and hung out with Mark Grant, bought a couple of ties this afternoon, got a great deal on a couple of ties. So it's been a big off day, and now winding down a little bit.
He didn't talk you into a hat?
He actually bought two hats today. There was a hat store that he apparently goes to every year, and he bought two hats, and he is very, very excited about them.
Good to see.
Everybody should tweet at Mudcat55 and ask him to see his new hat. That's what I'll say.
What size is it?
Double XL, I believe.
As in, like, 8.5?
No, I don't think the hats that he got. These are not baseball caps, Kurt. These are ridiculous-looking hats that only certain kinds of people can wear. And I don't think they come in the same sizes as baseball caps do. They come, for Mud, I think it's like a 2X or a 3X, so... everybody can ask. He's wearing one right now. I can see him.
Good
stuff. Well, it's been a pretty eventful road trip and an eventful series there in Arizona. Just calling the game, what was a stranger game? Friday, where Shields gives up four home runs with the different leads he got, or Saturday with Craig Kimbrel, of all people, blowing the save, and then Upton winning the game in the 12th?
Yeah, no, I think Saturday was the craziest game of the series, and I think when all is said and done, and you know, we're sitting around having a cup of coffee in September or October talking about this season, I think we're going to talk about that game in Arizona as one of the weirdest and craziest and most fun games of the entire season. Obviously, I think we all would have preferred to see Kimbrel, you know, just shut it down 1-2-3 in the ninth inning, but that's not going to happen every time. That's not reality. And the fact that they sort of held their own in the 10th with those two big defensive plays, and that Upton put them ahead in the 12th, and Quackenbush with the two great innings, to me, that was one of the most fun baseball games I've ever watched in my life. So I thought that was just a crazy one and really enjoyable.
I was impressed with Thayer, Benoit, and Quackenbush with the way they threw the ball. But I've got to ask you about yesterday. Did you get, even though it really didn't matter, it didn't change the scope of the game, did you get any further explanation for Buddy, or get an opportunity to talk to him, or hear from somebody that did talk to him, on what Jim Joyce said to him on that obstruction call that they reversed?
Yeah, I haven't gotten a great answer on that. I guess there's two kinds of obstruction, and they said that Will Myers wouldn't have got the third, but, I mean, Mudd and I were looking through the rule book, and the rule that they referenced over the loudspeaker in the press box to explain it, we could not find in the rule book. And it was like, oh, check 9.1, whatever it was, and there was no rule 9 point whatever it was in the book. And we had the new, brand new 2015 rule book. So I have yet to receive a great explanation on that. It was a weird moment in the game for sure. Jim Joyce is a really good umpire, so, you know, I'll give him the benefit of the doubt on this one. But my understanding of the rule in the moment was that either it's obstruction and he goes to the next base, or it's not. And they apparently said it was obstruction, but they didn't give him the next base. Maybe there is, you know, a caveat somewhere in the rule book that allows them to do that. I just wasn't able to find it. But, yeah, I mean, that's the nature of baseball, right? Those kinds of weird things do happen.
Yeah, just for your information, it's 7.06, and it's You know, Buddy referred to both A and B in this rule, but that particular call was A. And the obstruction, The obstructed runner shall be awarded at least one base beyond the base he had last legally touched. Before the obstruction.
Yeah, no, that's what we read on TV, which would mean he needed to be on third base. Here's the bigger thing, and I said this, I don't know if you guys were listening to it when it was happening or a little while later, and this is one of my things with baseball that I'd really wish they would work on, is that they need, kind of like you get in football, it is like either the umpire needs to communicate to somebody who then announces it to say what's going on. I think it's absolute just nonsense that they leave everybody in the dark, and then like two innings later, there's this little PA announcement that, you know, nobody can really understand, and that's how they explain it. In that moment, like before the next pitch is thrown, there needs to be a public announcement, you know, saying, hey, here's what happened, here's what our ruling is. Same thing on these instant replay reviews. They need to say, hey, we're checking to see if a guy was tagged or not, or whatever the situation is in a particular review. And then after the review, they need to say, we don't think he was tagged, you know, he's safe, or whatever. I don't understand why baseball is so, you know, against communicating these things clearly in the moment. If it was me making the rules, if I was a commissioner, I would say these things need to be explained, you know, before the next pitch is thrown.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I definitely heard you on the broadcast say that, and we've talked about that just around the office, that that's what's going to make this game more fan-friendly and a better experience for whether it's people in the ballpark or people watching at home. Definitely 100%. Something that's well needed. Let's talk about the positive of yesterday, and obviously the result for Andrew Cashner wasn't what he had hoped, but it's always fun and interesting when everybody can get so emotionally invested. Obviously a really special day for him taking the mound on Mother's Day with everything that his mother had been through. What was that like being in the ballpark and being around the team knowing what he had on his mind?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty intense. I mean, some of the stuff we were showing on TV, you know, the interview that Sam Ryan did for MLB Network recently, it was like, wow. You know, I mean, it was deep and it was emotional, and I was feeling emotional just watching the video, so I can only imagine how Andrew was feeling. But, you know, the guy goes out there and has what I think was his best start of the season. And you know me, Mike, I'm not going to get too caught up in a pitcher's win-loss record because I don't think it's necessarily all that reflective of how he pitches, at least a lot of the time. And you know, the case yesterday, you know, no run support. If the Padres have a great day offensively and they score 6 runs, you know, we're talking about nothing but Andrew Cashner. But they didn't, and so we're not. But, I mean, he was outstanding yesterday. He was in control. I thought he was very good. Obviously, the two solo homers are what they are. But, you know, that couldn't have been easy for him yesterday, especially with everybody talking to him about it and doing the interviews and, you know, sort of knowing that it was a big deal back home. It was awesome yesterday. I was so impressed and so happy for Cat.
Really, really interesting to hear. Talking to Jesse Agler, Padres television broadcaster right now.
Jesse does it all, doesn't he?
He does it all.
You remind me of me when I played. You're a jack of all trades.
I'm a utility guy, man. I'm happy to be in the big league, you know?
And you can do it all.
You need me there, I'll go there.
So Cash had to be feeling pretty good, though, about home yesterday, wasn't he? I mean, his mom was home. So that was a good thing.
Yeah, I haven't talked to him about it, so I don't want to say, you know, how he's feeling. But you're right. I mean, the news does sound a lot better now than even just a couple of weeks ago. So that's got to help. I mean, if you read Corey Brock's story the other day on MLB.com, you know, he was saying there was a time in spring training, which obviously wasn't that long ago, where he thought he was never going to see her again. So, I mean, it was that bad. And so, yeah, the fact that she's out of the hospital and back home now, I don't know that she's free and clear. But, I mean, you know, he's got to be feeling, you know, much better than he was in March.
Has to be. Curious your take. Having been around the team a couple plane rides here, do you sense any frustration with this team? They get a good win, they feel like they're going to build some momentum, and it just doesn't continue? Or is this a veteran group that just knows the ebbs and flows of the game and is just dealing with it? What's kind of the mindset of this team with the way they've played?
Yeah, hearing from guys, you know, especially like the Upton's and Kemp's of the world, there's no panic here. You know, I mean, look, it's still early in the season. Everybody knows that, and these guys are, a lot of them have been through the ups and downs of the season before. I don't know when the point is, and maybe even it's a good thing, you know, for Kurt to talk about at some point, like, but, you know, when the moment is on the calendar when maybe you start getting a little bit more concerned. But right now they're holding their water. You know, they're winning more than they're losing, for the most part. And, you know, I think they're still trying to find themselves. They're still figuring it out. And, I mean, let's be real, guys. We haven't seen a point yet this season where both the pitching and the hitting have sort of all come together and been good in a 4, 5, 6-game stretch. So that's going to happen. You know, they're going to have to rattle off, you know, that 6 out of 7 or whatever at some point. But, you know, no, I don't sense any frustration with that, at least as of this point. But it's early May, so I wouldn't expect that.
Well, things turn around quickly, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks. I mean, this ball club on April 22nd, I believe, was 10-5. And since that time, they've kind of reversed things. So it can be reversed again very easily. But if at the beginning of the season somebody told you, Jesse, that this ball club would have given up 44 home runs in the first 30-some games, what would you have said to them?
Yeah, no, I wouldn't have believed that. But I also don't know that I would have believed that they'd be leading all of baseball in runs scored, you know, for as much as they have. So it definitely hasn't, you know, gone the way I think I imagined it to, but that's usually how that kind of thing happens, right? We think we know stuff, and then we end up knowing nothing, so I don't know. I mean, we can record this conversation, play it back in August, and be like, man, look at what we were worried about. Or maybe we'll be, you know, totally on point, but who knows? Like you said, things can turn around really quickly. They can turn around in a big way, and I'm curious to see how the next couple weeks go.
So I know you're going to have Cholula hot sauce with it, but what are you going to have for dinner tonight?
You know, I don't know. We were just talking about that a few minutes ago, and then Seth called me and sort of interrupted that conversation, but that's fine. We'll go back to having a dinner conversation afterwards. I'm thinking maybe sushi, you know, something with fish. We're right by the water here in Seattle, so seafood seems like a pretty good choice, but I'll keep you posted. I'll text you tonight, Kurt. I'll let you know.
Crab. And just send me some. I don't care if I get it in 3 or 4 days. Just send it in an envelope. It'll still be good.
He's going to enjoy it in his
man cave. How many stamps do you need to send crab? How many stamps?
I think it's like 14.
Okay. Can I email crab? Does that work? I'm more
of an email. The mailman knows what's in the envelope. There, it wouldn't take any stamps. You're good to go.
He just did it.
Exactly.
Wow. With that, I'm going to let you get to your dinner plans. Appreciate the time, Jesse. Enjoy the off day, and good luck with the two games against the Mariners starting tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate you holding down the fort, and hope you're having a good time.
Always.
See you soon.
Jesse was on the Cholula Hotline. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wood cap. For a delicious punch of jalapeno and poblano, check out the new green pepper sauce flavor today. Our thanks to Jesse Agler for joining us from the road. He's in Seattle, and we will be right back with more Padre Social Hour from the AMR studios right after this break.